The Methodist Church has been the leading post for the kingdom of God in the United States. Literally. Let's think about it. In the 1850s, one out of three people in this country went to a Methodist church every Sunday, wherever they were, one out of three. And we sent thousands of circuit riders, who are preachers, everywhere, moving this town to another town and preach. And they said, I want to help people know Christ. I want to invite them to know Christ, and I want to help plant churches that will transform the community. So in that 19th century, the people of God started over 40,000 churches in this country. 40,000. And they began to start schools, universities, hospitals, and so many intercity missions. Literally, they changed and transformed the country. Everywhere people went, they shared good news, the good news of Jesus Christ, and they invited people to know Jesus and be the disciples of Jesus Christ. And they managed to bring together those two sides of the gospel, intellect and heart. So back in those days, there were Christians who were all about intellect. They were Presbyterians and Episcopalians. They fancied themselves in intellectual. And Baptists, they were all about passion. They were on fire. And this was before the Pentecostal movement, so they were all about passion and fire. And I have told you before how the Presbyterian used to call the Methodist us. They called us Baptist who couldn't read. I don't know who got offended or not, but anyway, that was who we are. So they brought intellect into faith, where the head and heart were encouraged, where people were brought to faith in Christ and transformed and sent to the world to spread what Wesley called scriptural holiness. That was in the 19th century. But you know, a lot has happened since then. In the last century, Christianity in the United States came to a place where we had so many. We were at the top of our game. It seems like everyone was a Methodist, or everybody loved Methodist. It was just about the time when we reached the top of success we could possibly imagine. People began to think, look what we have done. We don't need to learn anymore. We got so many. We got so many churches, schools, and hospitals. We've done a great job, brilliant and fantastic. It was what happened in the last century. We Methodists became proud. With that pride, in a big picture, we begin to be proudful, stopped learning, stopped being willing to change because we got so many, and we stopped calling people to give up the comfort zone to spread the good news because we already had so many. And we forgot the way we started churches. Wherever people were moving in the old time, we sent a Methodist circuit rider, but we stopped doing that. So in the 19th century, it was like we planted one new church every day for 50 straight years. But last century, it came down to 20 a year. And now we see the declining. And people began to think, we don't need to start a church, and we don't have to invite people because we have many. That was about half a century ago. This became our culture across the country. And we began to lose a big part of our gospel. We became very focused on social action, which is good, a huge part of the gospel. But we are so passionate about that, but we forgot the people need to hear Jesus. People need to have their faith transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we forget people need to be converted and transformed by Jesus, not us, by Jesus. We forget to call people to new birth, new creation in Jesus Christ. In that process, we began to decline across the country for the past 60 years. And we had coronavirus. Now we are trying to get back together, finding a new normal. Time. It is our time. Thinking about why we are doing what we are doing. And we need revival. We need revival in our church and the country. And my question is, why? Why do we need revival? In our scripture reading today, it helps us understanding why revival is necessary. Revival is not the word we often use in the United Methodist. It sounds a little bit more like Baptist or Pentecost. By the way, I love Baptist. I have a really, really good friend of mine who are Baptist. It's a pretty good word. I like the word. But anyway, to revive, it is like somebody dying or near death. You can help. You can help them come back to life again. Revival is important. Then why? Why does the church need to be revived? Why do, in our relationship, we need revival happen? Part of the answer is, we find it in our scripture reading. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, where we find Moses, he's leading the children of Israel, and getting ready to enter the promised land. They have done so many. They have been through so many hard times, and now they are about to enter the promised land. And it says, take care that you do not forget the Lord your God by failing to keep his commandment, which I am commanding you today. Now you have a lot. You have a lot. But do not exalt yourself forgetting the Lord your God. Do not say to yourself, my power and my mighty hands have gained me this wealth. And we find God's message. Remember. And this warning doesn't happen just one time in Deuteronomy chapter 8. It appears over and over and over again in the Bible. God was concerned when the people settle and prosper. They forget. It is God who freed them and gave them power. And they forget. God has delivered them and saved them until a crisis happens to them. When crisis happens, all of a sudden they realize, maybe, I'm not so self-sufficient as I thought. And they began to ask for God's mercy again. It happens again and again, again in the Bible, and it happens in our lives and around us. And many people lost the true meaning of their lives, purpose, and calling in God. Maybe it is our story, my story, and your story, or somebody around you at this moment of our lives. And it's interesting, the Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann, he describes the Old Testament with one chart, and he says, oh yes, the chart looks like that. It says, when people are doing well, they are in a period of orientation. Everything goes well, and things are going smoothly, but over time, they begin to fall away from God because things are going well. And they think they don't need God. Everything is okay. But when they fall away from God, God withholds blessings and care for them, and all of a sudden they find themselves in trouble. And this period of trouble, Walter calls it disorientation. And then they cried out to God, God, please save me. Save us. We forgot. We are so sorry. Please forgive us. Then God delivers them because God is gracious and merciful. When we run away, God takes us back. When we call, when we find the reorientation, and we call that a new beginning, forgiveness, grace, and a new start. And this cycle happens again and again and again. Then when we think about our lives, and our church, and the country, where do you think we are? Orientation? Disorientation? Or reorientation? Where are we? This is not just the story of the Old Testament. It is our story. And that is how it works. It happens in our spiritual lives. It happens in another arena. It happens in our relationship with our friends, neighbors, and even family members. That is what happened many times in my house, in your house. And sometimes it happens in my relationship with my wife. I make a mistake, so I have to say I'm sorry to my wife. And yeah, sometimes I know, yeah, I've done something wrong, but sometimes even though I don't feel that I did something wrong and I didn't understand, but I just say sorry. Because I don't like that awkward situation. Okay, Rosa, save my sorry. And forgive me. I don't know what I did, but anyway. That's what happened in my life. But in our relationship with God, it is so clear. God is always there for us, whether we feel it or not, with God's grace and mercy. And it is us who falls away, who runs away from God. When that happens, when that disorientation happens in our spiritual lives, we need to go back to be reoriented in our relationship with God. We need to help our brothers and sisters who are, disoriented, away from God. We need to call them to become reoriented. That is revival. And we need it. We need revival in our spiritual journey. And we need revival in our church. We need revival in this country and the world. Then how? How? How can we go back to God as a community? We start doing what we have been missing. We need that from that moment. What is that? What did we miss? I believe one of the answers is a story. My story and your story. The people's story about God and their relationship with God and the community of people. Your story has the power the power to deliver God's love to the people. When you think about sharing the good news, it's really hard, icky. Oh, just imagine that you deliver good news. Sometimes not easy, sometimes you feel awkward thinking about yourself, talking about God and witnessing to the people, because many of us have not done that often. So I want to share with you some questions. When you think about yourself delivering good news, so here are the questions. The first one, you may want to think about who you are. Who are you? It is about a general introduction to yourself, your work, your family. And the second question is, what was your first impression when you joined the church? Did somebody invite you to the church or Jesus? How did you come? How was it? And the third one is, what is your one word to describe God? Who is God to you in your life? When you think about God, what comes in your mind? One word. And what was the most meaningful event and moment in your faith journey? What was that? And the last one is, what is God nudging you and speaking you to you currently? And what does God want you to do and be? These five questions. During the week, I want you to ponder these questions and make your own answers. That's going to be your story. You can share with your family, friends, and neighbors. Let me tell you again, your word has the power. When you deliver Jesus Christ, when you invite people to Jesus Christ, I believe that brings revival to the people you are talking with and yourself as you share your story. That is what the disciple did. We need revival. We need to find our calling again, given by God, and staying in love with God and sharing God's love with our neighbors. And in our words, to invite people to know Jesus and help them to know God's love for them and the meaning of their life, meaning of their lives. That's the way we become the disciples of Jesus Christ, and that's the way I believe revival begins in our heart and our community. Amen. Sometimes my wife says, don't talk about us, don't talk about me in your sermon. But yes, that's reasonable and relevant. So I mentioned about, I'm so sorry. And in our relationship with God, it's happening. When we break the bread, we remember Jesus' love. Unconditional love, always standing with us, for us. And that promise, that is ours, and we need to share. Let us pray. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here in this room, and bless these precious elements of the Holy Communion. Make them the body and blood of Jesus Christ, so that as we take them, we may be the body of Jesus Christ, redeemed by his blood. Restore us, God. Bring revival in our lives, in our heart, and in our community and beyond. Amen. Please peel the first layer and take the body of Jesus Christ. And peel the second layer. Let's take the blood of Jesus Christ. How was your week?